Okay, we're live.
Okay, thank you. Just let me know if you guys want me to share my screen. I have the agenda in front of me, but I'll be clicking back and forth. I'll get started. Half a day, this is the Guam EPA Board of Directors regular meeting. Today's day is Thursday, June 19, 2025. The approximate time is 4 o'clock p.m. and this meeting is being recorded. Let's do the roll call. So for Heather, we're just going to state our name and where we're calling in from. So I'll go first, and then I'll call off the directors, and then you can just say if you're present. Stephen Carbolito, calling in from Pagania Heights. Director Carrera.
On mute.
Present, calling in from Pagania.
Director Hollister.
Hi, present, calling from Hoggett.
Director Kathleen.
I'm half a day. I'm calling in from EPAN.
Thank you. And Director Heather.
Half a day. Calling in for online from Agatnia.
Thank you. Seeing that the publication went out, we have a quorum. Let's get this meeting started. I just want to start off by saying welcome, Heather, to our board of directors. Your first meeting. Thank you and glad to have you on board.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Director Lastimosa, Administrator Lastimosa is unable to make it, so stepping in for her today is Captain DeGrange. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
So we have a lot on the agenda that we probably won't get to everything today, but we'll tackle our board action items as well as the administrator's report, and we'll just go through Q&A and status reports that we can, but likely we won't do the sampling results presentation. Okay, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
There's a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you. Next item, approval of last meeting's meeting minutes. Let me know if there's a motion.
I move to approve the March meeting minutes.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I will second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
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 Thank you.
I abstain.
Yes, thank you, Director Heather. I think we have enough votes to pass on the motion, so motion passes. Thank you. Next item, board discussion and action. 4A, election for board chairperson. So right now the position is vacant, and for Kristen, we should take this time to elect a chairperson. And I'll open up the floor for anybody to make nominations.
I nominate Stephen Carbolito for chair.
I second.
I second.
Thank you so much. Any other, or I guess, is there any discussion on the nomination? I'll just say thank you to all the directors, and I'm more than happy to keep the status quo and continue as chairman. Now I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Director Carrera, are you there? Okay, you're there.
Sorry.
Okay, you're good? Okay. So Dr. Carrera, you vote aye?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Aye. Motion passes. Thank you very much, everybody. Next item, reimbursement to GSWA from RRF FY25 Q1 and Q2 activities. Is there a representative from GSWA on? I don't think so. Okay, I'll go through this. So the law says that we're to review their proposal, not really their spending. So in your board packet, number 3A is the cost proposal. So I could share my screen. Do you see 3A?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll just go through it quickly. It is for bulky and metallic waste collection at a cost of $250,000. This includes refrigerators, hot water heaters, washing machines, furniture, mattress, and couches, and large appliances. The next one is for household hazardous waste for $150,000, and that is for hazardous waste and TV and e-waste collection, and that is for a total of $400,000. Okay. Then also in your board packet is the amount that they've spent, and that is an FYI. Initially, they thought that they had to provide that for reimbursement, but the law says the cost proposal. So it's an upfront request to the board of what will be spent on. I'll open up for the floor and any motions to review and approve their cost proposal. And once we do this, then Guam EPA's administrator could reimburse them for costs incurred for this fiscal year.
So in the end, after all this, they'll submit their bills and things. I mean, we're giving them the $400,000, then later they'll submit
yes.
what they spend. Okay.
So it's in the board packet already. It's number 3, request for reimbursement. And so they've, for Q1 and Q2, they spent $227,000. So Michelle will be able to release $227,000 from the RRF once we approve their cost proposal and their spending is in line with the approved cost proposal. Connie, feel free to step in to supplement.
It just, it looks like all of their receipts are actually already attached, so,
yes.
right? Okay, so
yeah.
we know those so far.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have Glenn, the acting deputy administrator, also who reviews those expenditures and just makes sure that they're in line with the RRF rules as far as what is allowable as far as reimbursement, and we're not duplicating it. So we do go through it as well.
So I'd make a motion to proceed with disbursement.
I'll ask if you want to make a motion to approve the cost proposal.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you. And now I'll turn it over to Captain DeGrange for the administrator's report.
Thanks all. Obviously I'm standing in for Administrator Lastimosa. Our deputy administrator is currently out sick, so I'm also standing in for him, even though my regulations won't allow a beard, so I get rid of that. Forgiving the redundancy, there will be some Because I have the April and May administrators reports. So if you'll forgive me that, then I'll read through both reports at once. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So our administrators reports for April 17th, those are our agency updates from the 13th of March through the 17th of April. Administrative, we, as of the 19th of March, and actually present, we have 55 full-time equivalents on board. I'll spare you the breakdown of each division, but you guys can read that in your report. Our recruitment is as follows. In the administration division, we have conducted interviews for public information officers. In the water division, we have the positions of chief engineer, which the certified packet has been received. It's pending review at DOA. And Connie, if I say that incorrectly, please fix what I break. We have two environmental technician positions that we're going to reannounce for the second vacancy. We did hire one, and she started Monday. She started Monday the 12th? No, the 12th. We have also an engineer supervisor, which is pending announcement, and an engineer one. We have three engineer one positions that are also pending an announcement. In the safe drinking water division, we have an environmental health specialist three. The certification packet was received. Pending interviews, which you'll find out in the next report, have been conducted, and that environmental health specialist three has been selected. For air and land, we had an environmental health specialist three and two environmental health specialist twos. The EHS three, the certification packets were received. Those interviews were also conducted. You'll hear about that in the next report. And then the environmental health specialist two, two of those are pending announcement. In EMAS, we have environmental health specialist, four of them, with interviews conducted. For the agency headquarters, negotiations have been completed. The contract for A&E services was signed on April 3rd, 2025, and it's currently at the AG's office pending their review. For policy, the plastic bag ban, which is Public Law 36-98, says effective July 1st, 2025, paper carryout bag will be phased out. Senator Lujan has introduced Bill 121-38, which proposes to amend the Choose to Reuse Act of 2018 to exempt branded paper bags from the ban on single-use plastic bags. That aims to allow retailers to use branded plastic branded paper bags while still adhering to the overall goal of reducing plastic waste. Bill number 83-38, corrected with Vice Chair Anthony Atta, an act to add a new section 1203.1 to Article 2 of Chapter 1, Title 5, Guam Code Annotated, and a new section 45112 to Article 1 of Chapter 45, Title 10, Guam Code Annotated, relative to allowing the Bureau of Statistics and Plans, Guam Coastal Management Program, and the Guam Environmental Protection Agency to employ environmental law attorneys for their exclusive use. We provided testimony in support of this bill with the following comment. With regard to the current language of Section 45112, Environmental Law Attorney for the Guam Environmental Protection Agency, which reads, notwithstanding any other provision of law, the Guam Environmental Protection Agency is authorized to use its federal funds to hire an attorney for its exclusive use. The attorney shall be hired as a classified employee pursuant to the provisions of Section 4103G and Section 4103H of Chapter 4, Title 4, Guam Code Annotated, or to procure these services of an attorney pursuant to and in accordance with the Guam procurement process for professional services. We recommend the following language to the new section 45112. The attorney shall be hired as a classified employee pursuant to the Government of Guam's Department of Administration's personnel rules and regulations, or the attorney shall be hired using the classified positions pursuant to the provisions of Section 4103G and Section 4103H of Chapter 4, Title 4, Guam Code Annotated, or hired through the limited term appointment or temporary appointment, or to procure the services of an attorney pursuant to and in accordance with the Guam procurement process for professional services. Bill number 28-38 corrected, Sabina Flores-Perez, an act to amend section 28112, C of chapter 28, title 11, Guam Code annotated, relative to increasing the Guam Environmental Protection Agency's compliance and enforcement capacity to protect the health of our environment and people. The agency provided testimony in support of this bill with the following comments. In section 45200A, to expand the use of the fund beyond to clean up hazardous materials and restore and repair damage done to Guam's environment, as well as to collect, transport, and process and dispose of household waste in accordance with the provisions of the ORDA Dump Consent Decree Supplemental Environmental Project, SEP. We recommend the use of the fund be used for activities to include water quality improvement, waste management, air quality, hazardous waste recycling, environmental monitoring and analysis, environmental planning, and emergency response, technical assistance and training, and compliance and enforcement. In section 45201, remove the cap of 25% of the funds in the ETF that may be utilized by administrators of the Guam Environmental Protection Agency for programs relative to the prevention of environmental problems and the promotion of keeping a safe and healthy environment. We recommend the funds be used to support a range of environmental efforts as recommended for section 45200A above. In section 45202, authorized expenditure and emergency declaration. Remove the cap of $5,000 the administrator is authorized to spend for the purposes of assessment, cleaning up hazardous materials, and restoring and repairing damages done to the Guam environment per emergency declaration without legislative appropriation, provided that an emergency declaration has been declared by the governor. We also recommend that the authorized expenditure include any emergency response activity that could occur without necessarily an emergency declaration by the governor, and to include provisions for staff pay, equipment, and supplies to support the emergency response activity. With programs, projects, and partnerships, regarding the RRF audit, OPA auditing, the Recycling Revolving Fund is ongoing. For APRA Harbor waterfront repairs, our acting deputy administrator attended stakeholder meeting on March 19th and 20th, 2025, to establish effective communication, identify potential issues within the project, develop action plans, create a good working relationship among all project stakeholders, to develop mutual goals, and jointly create problem-solving procedure to eliminate unnecessary delays, costs, and inconveniences. The GURA Technical Assistance Workshop for Community Development and Block Grant Disaster Relief, a total of $500,825,000 was appropriated by the U.S. Congress to support recovery efforts from Typhoon Mawar. These funds will be administered, by the Guam Housing and Urban Renewal Authority. Guam EPA was invited to offer a project proposal for consideration. The University of Guam Center for Island Sustainability 2025 conference took place April 7th through 12th, 2025. Administrator Lastimosa, Gabriela Perlosky, Luis Pascua, Julia Pujara, and Miguel Cordero also attended, along with some other members of the Guam EPA. Guam Sustainable Culture Compost Workshop was conducted there, which aims to promote sustainable agriculture and environmental stewardship on Guam. It's focused on residential composting, and this project in partnership with the Guam Environmental Protection Agency is supported with funding from the Solid Waste Infrastructure for Recycling, or SWIFR, grant program to encourage food waste and yard waste diversion. The working group for the construction of the new hospital, which is a biweekly meeting, we continue to provide technical support and answer questions as requested. Our zero waste working group, Acting Deputy Administrator San Nicolas and the Recycling Coordinator attended a virtual meeting on March 25th. They provided an update of our activities, which include Illegal Dumping and Litter Control Act. The Guam EPA amended Chapter 51, Article 2 of the Guam Litter Control Act to enhance enforcement with new fee schedules and waste volume parameters. The mandatory residential island-wide collection, Guam EPA supported the Second Amendment to Bill 30-38, which places more responsibility on the Guam Solid Waste Authority. Previous attempts to pass this legislation had failed, due to unresolved lifeline funding issues for low and no income families. Food waste and organics composting, permitted composting facilities exist on the island. DOD properties keep all green waste within federal land and process it on site. Environmentally preferred purchasing, a law exists under the purview of the Department of Administration, Guam Services Agency, GSA. Guam EPA is designated as the enforcement agency to ensure greener product purchasing. The Landfill Waste Division, Guam EPA policy exists to divert construction and demolition debris and green waste from clearing and grading activities from the landfill. With Guahan Sustainable Culture Partnership, US EPA Solid Waste Infrastructure Recycling, or SWIFR, grant-funded initiative awarded to Guam EPA in partnership with Guahan Sustainable Culture. There are two-year grant funds, home composting and gardening training in all villages with two rounds of participants and 200 households each year. Senator Sabina Perez is working on a bill to expand the definition of composting to include on-site management by farmers and businesses. We also reappointed Mr. Stephen P. Carbolito as a member of the board of directors. We provided testimony and support. Obviously, that's happened. We're glad you're here, sir. The Mariana Island Conservation Strategy, or MICS, we continued engagement with Stephanie Hertz with the Department of Defense. She serves as the Recovery and Sustainment Partnership Coordinator, or RASP, Coordinator for the Department of Defense, DOD. Their Natural Resources Program within the Office of the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, Environmental Management and Restoration under Ron Tickle. The RASP is a partnership between DOD and the Department of Interior focused on developing and promoting conservation and recovery initiatives for threatened, endangered and at-risk species while promoting increased flexibility for military mission activities. We discuss proactive, innovative, and collaborative approaches that enhance implementation of the Endangered Species Act, or ESA, that also sustain and enhance the military mission and achieve greater conservation outcomes for the species. Obviously, this has already happened, but April 29th and May 2nd, Administrator Lastimosa and I traveled to Honolulu to participate in that meeting. We had a meeting with JRM to discuss the MOA regarding design review and design self-certification, and also overcome by events, or OBE, the appointment of Director Heather as a member of our board of directors. We clearly support that. Ma'am, we're glad you're here. Our inspection activity. It's hard to read something 2 months in the past when we're here. Our inspection activity for the weeks of March 31st to April 11th, we had a total of 198 inspections that were conducted. And I'll allow you to read. The vast majority of those were air and land, between Dismoa, haz waste, pesticides, and solid waste. And then, of course, we had water inspections and safe drinking water and sanitary inspections that occurred. Our permit activity from 15 March to 11 April. You can see there was a total of 111 applications, total of 116 issuances, one permit on hold. And keep in mind that some of those issuances were for applications that happened prior to that period of time. Moving on to May 29th.
As you do the May one, you did a great job. You don't need to read all the sub-bullets for the laws.
I'm trying to not mess it up.
No, you're good.
But
thank you.
I'll give you the brief then. Okay, so our agency updates from the 12th of April through the 23rd of May, 2025. Again, still 55 full-time employees. Our recruitment is largely the same. However, we have some updates. The public information officer, we conducted interviews, we made a selection. We did not have response from that applicant after some back and forth with Department of Administration. We reached out to the second candidate that was on the list that was provided to us. That candidate has already taken employment with another agency, and we've reached back out to DOA because we had a couple questions about the list that we received from them. Connie, do you want to chime in anything on that?
Sure. So we did receive something from DOA today, and we are in the process again of not going back to square one, but we are in the process of contacting the remaining applicant or the next applicant in line again to see their interests.
Thank you. I'm just making notes so I know where to tell my boss I messed up. All right, with our chief engineer, again, we conducted that interview. We're awaiting DOA's request for an above-step recruitment and working on that process. Connie, do you have anything?
Yes. So we did get the information back from DOA, which is a notice of intent, and we are advertising that as well, putting that on our website. Notice of intent, of course, is like for above pay increase or above pay status. So that will be up on our website for 10 days, and we will wait and see if there's any comments from any of the public before we can move forward with it.
Thank
for
you.
For DOA's regulations again.
Thank you very much. Again, the other recruitment that we have in place, primarily in the water division, we have two environmental technicians. We selected one, and then we're going to reannounce for the second vacancy. We have the engineer supervisor and three engineer ones, again, still pending announcement. In the safe drinking water, environmental health specialist three, we conducted those interviews. We selected Ms. Julie Mendoza for that position. We're glad to have her there. For air and land, we made selection for the environmental health specialist three, and I believe that was Darian Mitchell. Darian. And we're pending announcement for two EHS twos for the air and land division. In EMAS, for our environmental health specialist one, four of those positions are there. Interviews were conducted and selections were made, and I'll probably screw up that whole list of names because I get you all confused on who got hired when. Same update for the agency headquarters, the site up in Dededo. We're awaiting feedback from the AG's office before we proceed in actually starting that work. We're hoping to get that feedback quickly so that that's a six-month contract. We hope to have it completed by the end of the year. So for policy, I think this one is also OBE, right? For Bill 2838, you don't need all those sub-bullets. But again, that would amend Section 28112C of Chapter 28, Title 11, Guam Code Annotated, relative to increasing Guam Environmental Protection Agency's compliance and enforcement capacity to protect the health of our environment and people. I'll spare you the sub-bullets. Thank you, sir. And then we can hear, so the Guam Environmental Protection Agency, PDCABRIS, sulfur dioxide or SO2 state implementation plan, emission inventory, technical support document has been completed. The public hearing was held, so that's an update to this. And all of that information has been submitted to US EPA for their review and approval. We're hoping to hear back within a month or two to see how that's going. So that was a big step, big project there. With the programs, partnerships, and projects, obviously we had the Earth Day 2025 proclamation signing. Then we conducted a site maintenance event in Azgarao and Maleso. The RF audit is still ongoing regarding the Recycling Revolving Fund. The GURA Technical Assistance Workshop for Community Development Block Grant Disaster Relief. Again, same here as in my last update. There's over $500 million that was appropriated. We're invited to offer project proposals, and we are working on development of that project proposal. We continue to serve on the Working Group for Construction of the New Hospital in providing technical support. Again, with the Mariana Island Conservation Strategy, we've continued our engagement with Stephanie Hertz, the RASP, and DOD, along with other partners from CNMI and Guam. That was actually a very successful meeting. We had three members from CNMI, three members from Guam, plus me, and spent 2.5 really jam-packed days discussing, you know, some of Fish and Wildlife's concern, DOD's concern, how ways that we could work together, priority species that we want to focus on, you know, getting some survey data, and then how can we move forward in proceeding with some of the DOD build-up projects while not further putting those species at risk. We had a meeting, the annual NASTTPO conference was April 21st through 25th. Green Parcels staff presented successful interactions with other agencies during disasters and worked about, like, how Guam typhoons created a need for multi-agency coordination. I believe that was Ms. Tasi Castro and Ms. Chie
Takasi.
Forgive me. We also held a meeting with GCA to discuss a possible MOA regarding CGGS or clearing grading permits. We also met with Smithbridge to discuss the Polaris Point project and encapsulating on-site debris in concrete to create platforms. We were not in favor of the encapsulation. There were a lot of other things that kind of led us to that direction. That was in consultation also with, I think, Ancestral Lands. We also had a meeting with the US EPA on-site coordinators, or OSC, as they're now back working on the cleanup of the Dedudo site. Our inspection activity for 12 April through 23 May, I'll let you guys read numbers there. The total inspections were 247. Again, large portion of those were the sanitary inspections with safe drinking water, and lead-free inspections also with safe drinking water. So our water inspectors have nearly half of those inspections. And then permit activity for 12 April through 23 May, you can see we received 428 applications. We issued 124 permits, and we have 9 permits on hold. And that's all I have pending your questions.
Okay, thank you very much, Captain DeCrange. Go ahead, Director Kathleen.
Yeah, hi. I have two questions, and one is, with the negotiations complete for the contract for the A&E services, but the board still doesn't get to know who this is or anything else about it. It's been, you know, very tightly held information.
So this is a question that I would defer to Ms. Finney, but she's not here.
I got it.
Okay, good.
So again, it's not that we didn't want to tell the board. Whenever there's a negotiation process, obviously we can't do anything until a contract is in place.
Right.
So we finally got the contract in place. It's still at the AG's office. We can tell you, I believe it's Kunimoto that we signed the contract with. He is our contractor who we that was selected for the A&E. So it's not that we were trying to hide it from you guys. Obviously, it's
okay.
The regulations.
Okay, so it's still with the AG, so good luck on that. And then the other thing is there anything that we need to get a heads up on with the audit on the recycling fund?
Not right now. We're still working with them. They are still trying to gather some documents, information in regards to the RRF. The last audit they did on us was 2015, I believe. So, you know, I guess we're just all playing catch up here. But we are in compliance and providing them whatever documents they are needing.
Great, yeah. I mean, I have gone recently through some audits when I was at the Research Corporation. They're very thorough, and it takes a long time, and there's a lot of documentation. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a lot of work for the agency.
Thank you.
And then, you know, they'd love to take whatever little thing it is and put that in their headline. So,
yes.
Just if there is anything, let the board know.
Of course, definitely. I mean, again, you've gone through audits, so you know right now, I mean, there's not much to say because we don't know anything. We are going through the audit process. If there is something alarming, of course, obviously, we will advise the board. As of right now, we are still in the meeting stage, gathering documents stage, and reviewing stage. So, yes.
Okay. Good job. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions at this time? We could come back to it later also. Okay, since the month of March, have we had any notices of violations?
So you guys have, you should have in your package all the notices of violations. Fran, do you have a current list? In reading the list, right, it looks like the 21st of May, there was an NOV issued regarding water pollution for failing private wastewater disposal system on an illegal construction of house extensions without upgrading the wastewater disposal system. And that house is located in Chalampago. Okay. I also see that on the 29th of April, 2025, Guam Memorial Hospital Skilled Nursing Unit was issued an NOV regarding hazardous waste. The complaint for the violation, it's an underground storage tank or UST violation. It said SNU failed to maintain results and or records of monitoring and testing of functionality for release detection for 3 years. They failed to maintain records for the tank and piping release detection, periodic testing of spill prevention and contaminant equipment, monthly and annual walkthrough inspections for the UST system, and records verifying training of designated Class A, B, or C operators. And if you can see, there's some comments listed there that we, on the 13th of May, the Hazardous Waste Management Program received a notice of intent to appeal. On the 13th of May, also, the copy of the notice of appeal was provided to Administrator Lastimosa and AAG Finney. On the 19th, the request for hearing officer was sent via email to Office of the Attorney General, Solicitor's Division. And on the 20th of May, hard copies of that same request were delivered. Those look to be the two newest that I can see in this spreadsheet that you also have electronically.
Okay, thank you. And just for everyone's information, it's required in these board meetings for the NOVs to be reported, all new NOVs to be reported.
Correct.
So for, just for clarification, is someone from Air and Land or Water present for the NOV that you said requested a hearing officer? Is that accurate?
So no one's currently present from Air and Land because our deputy administrator is out sick. And I don't think anybody was able to step in behind him with such short notice.
Okay. Well, just for the record, my understanding is that it was appealed, but a hearing is not requested. But we'll circle back with Michelle and Arlene on the status of that NOV that's been appealed.
Okay. And again, my apologies. All the normal folks are out, including Arlene and and our leadership. So doing
thank
the best
you.
I can. I apologize.
Okay. Is anyone in the room? So Aaron Land's not there. How about the water division in regards to enforcement and inspections?
Yep, we have our inspector supervisor, Mr. Ron Trofiris, here with me.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to give an update on activities over the last month since March?
So I'm Ron Trofiris from the inspector program. I'm the supervisor. In regards to the NOV that we were talking about earlier with this Chalampago. So what it is we gave her an NOV and we're waiting 45 days for her. We gave her 45 days to respond to our our corrective actions for this NOV, which she, this complaint has been since 2000. You know, I don't have the form, the documents with me, but if I can try and remember, I believe it's like 2001.
And no worries. And yeah, for the NOV, we'll, if it gets appealed to the board and they request a hearing, we could hear more about it that time. But how about in regards to your inspections going out into the field and other things aside from writing up NOVs, how has the work been going since March?
Oh, the other NOVs you're talking about, or
no, the other enforcement activities and inspections.
Yeah, so obviously we talked about the number.
Your daily inspections since March.
Oh, our daily inspections have been going really well. As far as like the silk fence from the last time with that stairway situation, remember the stairway situation where they didn't have the silk fence up and they were complaining about. We took care of all that, and what we did was we went ahead and having to do with the silk fence, before they get their application for their building permit, we had to inspect their silk fence, because when they received their application, they never put up their silk fence, and there was a lot of complaints in regards to the runoff. But ever since we changed the way they received their application, we haven't had any issues. We had like a couple of, maybe like one or two. But after I explained the reasons for it, then they understood where we're going with this.
I'll also chime in and say that with regard to the concern about the water quality around that staircase, we sent our monitoring team out and, you know, we pulled in some of the concerns about the quality of the sand that was there. And we said, oh, naturally, the sand feels a little squishier than people would expect because there are three freshwater seeps there. So the texture and quality of the sand was what we would expect. We also would expect the clumping that we saw, certainly like with the KUAM story. We expected that because when you have a freshwater seep, it pushes the larger particles away, so you get more fine particles. You also get different types of algae growth there. So everything was as expected. We saw no disturbance to the water quality there, so felt pretty comfortable that...
We had And there was also, we went back out. There was fish swimming around the area. You can actually see the school of fish around that area, so we were like, okay, everything should be okay now.
Yeah. We're also going to bring in Ms. Mendoza with some update on the inspections that her team, the sanitary inspections her team has been conducting.
Hello, good afternoon. So this is an update for our March and April. The State Drinking Water Program conducted its fourth round at the Anderson Air Force Base water system. And we identify approximately 100 deficiencies. And we finalized the report, and significant deficiencies are required for them. We identified significant deficiencies which require the system to respond with corrective measures or an extension. So they have 30 days, and then the minor deficiencies, they have 1 year, and recommendations, they don't need to respond. So a total of approximately 100 deficiencies was cited.
How many were significant?
About 36 significant deficiencies. So they have to respond within 30 days. So we're working with the system right now to come up with those corrective measures. And if they can't get those corrective measures within 30 days, then they can request for an extension. So that's all we have for the drinking water program for inspections.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any other questions regarding inspections?
No, not for inspections.
Okay.
Okay, is there anyone in the room that could talk about the OD permit?
I wish I could talk about the OD permit. Michelle and I spoke briefly, very briefly while I was in Saipan. I know they're still working with US EPA to move that forward, and there's been some conversation with Anderson, but I've not been privy to any of that.
Okay, we'll table that for next meeting. And as we prepare for the next meeting, just at the next meeting, provide what the current action item is of the agency, and if the agency is waiting on another party, what are their timelines and milestones for providing the agency its next deliverable or status update?
I see.
Okay. Julie, we will table the EPA results presentation for the next meeting. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
And Director Castro requested for the item 6F RF programs to be on the agenda. So if no other directors have comments or questions on that topic, we could hold that off till the next meeting. And item 6G, I believe Director Hollister, you requested for the agency to summarize and provide their permit fee or their fee schedule. So that's in the board packet. Do you want to talk about it now or?
Really, I'd rather wait till we get everybody in the conference room.
That sounds good. Thank you, Director Hollister. Next one, is there anyone in the room to provide an update on the Air Pollution Control State Implementation Plan?
That's me. We've, like I said earlier, we've finished it as well as we can. So we conducted a pretty extensive research and review for building the 2020 sulfur dioxide emissions inventory. We had a report from TRC that was contracted by GPA to conduct that initial inventory, and we found a few gaps, more than a few gaps maybe. So we cleaned that up. We worked hand in hand to do the emission calculations for some of the marine sources with US EPA. And again, on June 6th at 6 p.m., I left my office after submitting that electronically to US EPA for their review and approval. So we have done as much as we can do with that, and we are just awaiting their hopefully official approval. Once that is approved, assuming that the rulemaking we submitted in March and the emissions inventory are approved by US EPA, they did a clean data determination, or a CDD, and with that CDD, we would not need to submit any other portions of the state implementation plan to them to demonstrate that we have achieved compliance with the 2010 NAAQS. So. You're on mute, sir.
All right, thank you. Any other comments from the board or members of the public at this time?
Steve, is this where we'll ask for things to talk about next time?
Yeah, for sure. Let me write this down.
Right. Yeah, I thought we asked last time. I could be mistaken. I may just be thinking about it. But can we get like a inventory of vehicles, running vehicles, and vehicles that Guam EPA has at their disposal, in particular for the inspectors? I'd just like to know that to address that and see if we can get them more vehicles if they don't have enough, because that was the indication in our last meeting that their first job in the morning was to look for a car so they could go out and inspect something. And then I would also ask, I was asked by a mayor to they had asked for EPA to intervene with the residents that had, that he called a junkyard, a dump, and was told by, and this is coming from the mayor, that Guam, that wasn't a Guam EPA issue. I went by the house that he was talking about, and it looks like a dump. And I mean, you know, people are dumping things there and junking things there. Is there some clear guidance for the mayors that we could come up with, so they know what is their responsibility and where to, when they can get help from Guam EPA?
Did that mayor tell you who at Guam EPA he or she talked to?
No, you know, I asked. And they couldn't remember, but yeah, the words were, I was told that doesn't sound like a Guam EPA problem. So I would just, you know, just to clarify for the mayors, to help them out, and I told them I'd bring this up for them.
For sure.
And then one other thing, is there a way we could know what goes into septic tanks? I mean, I know the fundamentals, but on Guam, I think we have to have a plastic septic tank shipped in from off island, and I want to educate myself and educate us and what goes into that, because we have, well, if we're going to have a lot of septic tanks going in up above the aquifer, I want to make sure that they're the best we can get, and see what we can do about that.
Well, sir, I appreciate you, because I was going to bring, or I was going to ask to add for our next meeting, draft rules and regulations regarding the Type 4 treatment systems. So I think that those two would go hand in hand and very nicely together. So I appreciate that I didn't even have to pay you off for that. It's great.
I would second that request. I think it's really important. You know, on the first request that you, or the first topic you were talking about, it seems to me that there, I don't, maybe Guam EPA already has this. I feel like there's an issue with providing the information to people in an accessible way, so that the mayor's office has it, your average person has it, it's understandable as to what you can have on your property. Because I drive around and there are all kinds of sort of illegal car shops. There are all kinds of things going on, in addition to just people dumping all kinds of inappropriate stuff. And, you know, for some of the folks, I think they probably really don't know what's going on. But for other people, they probably do. But in any event, I feel like we need to kind of, in the information piece, we just need to level the playing field so that everybody has the same information. We're not reinventing the wheel every single time. Every mayor has it so that their folks can go out and they know exactly what they have. And, you know, and it should come from EPA, I think, to...
Like a one-pager.
To work on some public outreach.
Here, you've got a property in your village and there's rusty cars all over, they're out in the street, what do I do? When do I call EPA? They don't know.
Right. And have it on the website too,
yeah.
You know, so that people can see, because this is a really common problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really, it's terrible for the environment, it's terrible for health, in addition to, you know, creating urban blight and destroying jungles and all those other kinds of things. But, I mean, if there's some way to do something like that, to educate folks so that it's really very clear, very simple, you know?
Yes, ma'am. So noted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, hearing none. Thank you so much, Captain DeGrange. We'll plan for our next meeting to be the third Thursday of July.
Good job.
All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Thank you very much, everybody. Have
Thanks,
a good
everyone.
Aye.
Thank you so much.
Good time.
Great job.
Huh?
Welcome, Heather.
Did they say time?
No, time is 4:59. time is 4:59 and the next board meeting is the third Thursday, which I'm going to assume is July 17th.
It is, ma'am, yes.
Okay. Director Kathleen, you're still there, so nice. Thank you for staying on board until we actually close out the board meeting.
I'm leaving now.
Thanks, everyone.
And what is the
Matthew,
are we good?
I think we are.
Leah, are we still live?
Tell us when
we're done.
Oh, we're done. Okay.
God.
Cool.
What was that?